Previously on Adventure. Julian, you reach out your hand, fire spews from your hand, it ignites the bridge in total flame.
Hey, Glog, nothing personal, just water under the bridge.
And this giant wall of water comes flying down this passageway. Glog gets orders from Black Spider. You're a wizard.
I'm not there.
You're a half... Glog, you're the people Glog's supposed to be looking for. As your cart is pulling it down, there's a sign, and it says next to it, the red brands will collect.
All that must see the great grass left.
Right in front of you is a pretty dope looking ass wizard.
Glass staff, I presume.
Who is this man you are traveling with? I'm Gizmoto Albrecht, and I don't know who this man is, but it's not Sildar Hallwinter. You guys turn and look at Sildar. Well, toodles, and thanks for all the help. You feel yourself slipping out of consciousness, and you hear a voice.
Each of the three races is guarded by a pestilence. The spider, the snake, and the bat. To stop him, you must destroy the three at the gate.
And you pass out. So you've all passed out?
That's going to happen soon.
And when you awaken, you all see the red brands around you also rising from the ground. And they peer over, and they look confused and more than a little scared. Glassstaff himself, Gizmoto Albrecht, as you now know his real name to be, is slumped on his throne. And he slowly pushes himself up, looks over his people, and says, "You should all go home. Be with your families.
Good night."
Not you. You stay where you are. The threat is past for now. And we have nothing to fear from these travelers. But except Patty, Peter, and a young human and a young human girl runs over, and also a halfling, a male halfling run over, and stand in front of him. And Glassstaff says, "As my scouts, I need you to go to the neighboring town of Spire, please, and glean what you can from your sources there. I have much reading and thinking to do. But come back when you have any information. If you can prove my theory is correct, we have a lot to talk about." And the two sort of run off. And then he looks over at the three of you, and he says, "I have many theories and ideas about what is happening right now. But I don't want to share them with you if they're wrong, because if I'm wrong, it could be disastrous. My spies will be back shortly, and I will retire to my room, and I will look into all of my sources and all of my texts. And then we should meet back here, and I will tell you what is going on. Until then, you are free now to roam about the town. You're free to go to Sammy's shop. He has items for you, and as a thank you, I'm instructing him to give you each a free item of his choosing. When you get back, we'll talk, and we'll figure out where we can go from here. I know you probably all have questions, and if I can answer any of your questions now, I will, so..."
Are we still lying on the floor?
That's up to you guys. Are you still lying on the floor?
We're still lying on the floor listening to this.
Yeah.
Well, you got to ask him if you're on the floor. Do you know if you're on the floor? I know I am.
Was that Jackie asking, or was that Therese asking?
That was Jackie asking.
Okay. Why character voices are important?
Hendley.
Oh, no.
Hendley. I know we passed out, but move your hand or lose it.
I thought those were two pillows.
Not pillows, Hendley. Armor. Move your hands or lose them.
You guys really need to work on sort of your priorities about what's going on here.
We just got given Blanchecart to ask a question.
She is my favorite golden girl.
Carte Blanche.
Oh,
not Diners Club.
All right, so do you guys have any questions for me?
Hey, oi, oi.
Yes.
How far out is Spire from here?
Just probably an hour's or so journey up by foot.
All right. So, I think we should go there.
I think we need to go to Sammy's and stock up.
We need. Yeah.
He said that we can get free stuff.
Free? It's probably going to be like a personalized pencil or some nonsense.
Oh no, Thrace likes free stuff.
Yeah. Hendley, you can't write, so I can see why a pencil wouldn't be of interest.
I'll write.
I assure you that'll be more than a writing pencil? Utensil for you guys. You obviously are all free to do whatever you'd like. You have nothing to fear from me, as much as I have nothing to fear from you. I would suggest not leaving the town. I would really love to speak with you in about an hour or two. I think it would really really benefit us all, because I think we have mutual interest in what's happening right now.
Blastoff, can we do anything to help?
Right now, trust me. Once I get my information, you will have plenty to do, and I will need your help probably quite desperately.
Is there anything that we need to know about the town?
No, I mean, again, everything you see that sort of seems dangerous and decrepit and despicable is all a front. We have very friendly people here. My people have already left, and I've started to spread the word about your presence in the town. You are welcome. You are one of us to walk around the town and do what you would like. So, yes, you have nothing to fear from the town.
If not, I'll fry them. Don't worry.
I want to quantify something. Wait, clarify, quantify, same word, whatever. Your ideas and your theories, and you do not want to share this with us because you think they're dangerous. But I understand if you're right, then that's good for us.
No, not necessarily. Would you mind your P's and Q's?
I'm worried that if I tell you what I think, that I will not be able to keep you in this town.
You made him mad now.
And if I'm wrong, you are certainly either going to walk into certain death or cause the death of many that don't deserve to die. So I would like to please keep it close to my vest until I am sure that what I think is right. Listen, I pray that what I think is right is not right. It's going to be grave.
Whose?
Hendley, Julian.
The world's.
Hey.
Hendley, Julian. Let's leave the man to do his thinking. Let's go shopping.
I'm for that.
Just like a woman.
Hendley. Oh,
that is going to cost you.
I'm trying real hard to like you, Hendley.
You're going to have disadvantage on all charisma rolls against female characters.
Just now, it's added up.
And in life. In real life. So please, go to Sammy's and treat yourself.
All right. Lead the way.
Let's go.
All right. So you guys are leaving, and before you leave, let's level up. Because leveling
bingo, bingo, da, 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 da.
So leveling up, because leveling up might affect what you decide to do at the shop. There's things that happen with general leveling for everyone. We'll go through those first, and then we'll get into your specific levels. Just so everyone listening at home, this is going to be less sort of story focused in this moment, and just more mechanics focused. But it has to be done. But it's going to be interesting. But you know, it's not going to be the normal thing. Except we'll get back to it very shortly.
Well, we've never done this before because it's more intricate than like going to level two. Level two really didn't do much.
Yeah,
right?
We haven't been to level two yet. You guys are going to level.
Right.
You guys are leveling twice today. By the way, I'm leveling you up to three.
And I'm sure you're going to explain it, Bobby. But the last note I took, and I could be wrong about this, I have 75 experience points, but I think 300 is what we need for two.
Yeah, so what I did was I started giving experience at the beginning, but I decided that we're just gonna kind of group level, like story level as we go, instead of just going by pure experience points. Because my idea from now on is to do less pure battles, which is where you get most experience points from.
Right.
It's like, okay, you killed a goblin, so you each get 15 experience points, and there's going to be a lot less of that, and so I don't want that to be what happens. And also, I'm sort of planning the story, and I'm kind of deciding like what you guys probably need to be when you get to a certain place. So that's how I'm kind of gauging everything.
Huh. Like that.
Some dungeon masters are very strict about it. I'm not going to be very strict about it just because I think it's more interesting radio-wise for you guys to get and change up your sort of abilities as we go.
And if you want to reward something individually, you can use that for inspiration.
Inspiration, exactly, which gives you advantage. So I'll say this. Level 2, you get a little bit. Level 3, you get a lot more. It's not until level 4 that any of your ability scores increase. But we'll get to that the next time you guys level. Okay. But at level 3, so at each level, you get to up your hit points. That's one of the big things. So whatever your hit die is, which should be in the middle section, middle top section, whatever that
1d10
is.
1d10 I have.
Yours is 1d10.
Mm-hmm. I'm a 1d8.
So for each level,
1d6.
For each level, you're going to roll that and add your constitution modifier.
It is a 2.
Plus 0. Yes. So Bob, you're going to roll your two hit die, your 2d6s.
No, 1d6.
So, but you're level twice, so you're going to roll one for each level you got. And you're going to add those to your max hit points. So roll 2d6s.
You're giving us... We're leveling up twice now.
Yes. Yes, now.
Oh, it's not one and then another later.
So. No.
Old-fashioned?
Yes, old-fashioned die for Bob. So it's a 3 and a 2. So you get 5 more hit points. So add that. So you had 6 before, I believe?
I was down to 4.
Well, you got them back because you're rested. So you're 6 max hit points.
So 6 and 5, 11.
You know your max hit points is 11. Great. So, Jackie, what's your constitution modifier?
It's plus 2.
So roll it twice and then add 4.
7 and 6.
Oh, wow. So it's 13.
Plus 4.
Plus 4.
Plus
you're two. Indestructible.
Plus 2 twice. Because you were only 2 levels worth.
Wow. So 13 plus 4, 17.
17 extra hit points for you.
Nice.
Thrace, you're going first in every situation. Henley, you just lost your job.
She is your tank. Henley, go right ahead.
All right. That's a 1d8. I got a 7.
Oh, nice.
And a 4. My constitution modifier is a 2. So am I going to 13 or 15? 15. So 15 on top of the 10 I already had.
Yeah, much more survivable as it goes along.
Yes, but just like any other game, right? Like, the enemies are going to get tougher and be able to dole out more damage.
Exactly.
The bigger bosses.
Yeah. Right. Wait, Bobby, I'm sorry. Can I clarify something?
Yeah.
No.
Shut up, Bob. So my current hit points are 25. My hit dice is also 25?
No, your hit dice remains the same.
It remains the same. Okay.
Yeah, your hit dice is just how you recover health.
Okay.
And stuff. I think anyway. I'm gonna double check that though, Bryce. Thank you for that question.
Jack, what's your total hit points now?
29.
I'm 25. I ain't no spring chicken.
Is that the appropriate turn of phrase?
Probably not.
I don't think it is. But
In the 12th century, okay. On some other planet, yes.
I've got 25 hit points. I'm not young. Right? Okay. Doesn't make sense.
Let's see.
I'm not green. I'm not like, you know, like okay. The...
Let's see. At first level, your character has one hit die, and the die type is determined by your class. You start with hit points equal to the highest roll of that die, as indicated in your class description. When character gains a level, his or her class often grants additional features. We saw that. Okay. Each time you gain a level, you gain one additional hit die. Oh, no, you get... So now you have 3d8s.
Wow.
Well, I only had one before.
Now you're at third level, so you get a hit die for every level.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Each of you has 3 of now your hit die.
Oh, so it's 3d6.
3d6s now, yeah.
So before I had 10 as my hit dice because I had the 1d8 plus the 2 constitution. So is my hit dice now 30?
No, your hit die is still 3d8s.
Okay.
It's
No, you're right, Again, during Player 101, I just misconstrued that the hit points were equivalent to hit dice.
No. But hit dice, so let's say you took a short rest and you had gotten injured. You would roll the hit dice to regain lost hit
right.
points.
So accurate now would be 3d8 plus 6.
Yes.
Oof.
Perfect.
Well, no, sorry. No, I only did the double constitution because you were leveling up on a normal roll to, like, regain hit points.
3d8 plus 2.
Yeah, plus your constitution modifier. Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I only gave you the plus 4 because we skipped. We
right,
because
we were doing it twice.
Yeah, exactly. All right,
So, I'm sorry, last thing. Experience points is null and void. Don't worry about them.
Yeah, don't worry about experience points. Okay. Keep track of your level, though. So you're level 3 now. You were level 1 before. It should be near the same place that experience points were. At level 3, well, let's start with Bob here, because at level 2...
Which we skipped over completely.
Yeah, level 2, you learn an arcane tradition, which there's a bunch of schools of magic that you can pick. Mm-hmm. And Bob, you picked School of Abjuration, is that what you picked?
Yes, I did.
Which is a more defensive type of magic. He can also sort of create a defensive shield around himself.
The heck with you guys.
That bonus, exactly. That bumps,
out of fire.
Yeah. that bumps up his hit points. Right? Is it your hit point or your armor class?
Well, that's a good idea, yeah. He has like such low hit points.
Very good for him.
He needs to be able to do that, yeah.
The other thing you do, Bob, is since now we're at third level, you open up spell slots. So at level 3... You now have 4 first level spell slots.
Nice.
And you have 2 second level spell slots.
Ooh.
And you learn 2 spells per level. So you have 4 new spells you can add to your repertoire. Oh. And you can also cast second level spells now. So it can be a mix of whatever you want. But you can only cast second level spells with a second level spell slot. But some spells like Magic Missile... have a first level version and a second level version. Right. Yeah. So you can choose. You can go, okay, I want to cast Magic Missile first level, because I don't want to waste one of my second level spots. This might be like dinky enemies or something like
that. So I have 2 second levels?
Yes, yeah. And you learn total of 4 new spells, and they can be any mix of first and second level spells that you want. You can pick whatever you want at this point. Just as long as they're wizard spells, obviously. And I'm not going to go through totally like what the School of Adjuration does, but Bob will know what it is, so I'd rather be surprised when Bob casts them than know for sure. So yeah, Bob gets some cool new stuff.
Wall of Fire, he gets, yeah.
He gets new defensive stuff, which is great, because you definitely need
that. I'm weak. I'm definitely weak.
You definitely need that.
I nearly vanished the first episode.
You did. The first two episodes, you nearly vanished. Jackie.
Yes.
So Jackie, at level 3, gets to pick... at level 2, you get what's called an action surge.
Okay.
So what that means is that you get to take a second action on your turn.
Oh,
so
wow.
So you can attack basically twice.
Fantastic.
Indestructible and can attack twice. I like that.
So you get 2 actions and 1 movement during your turn now. So you can choose to attack twice. The other thing you get is you get to pick a martial archetype. And so the fighter gets... between 3, I believe it's champion.
Yes.
Battle master, or Eldritch Knight.
Yes.
And which one did you pick, Jackie?
I picked Eldritch Knight.
Yeah. So Eldritch Knight is cool because Eldritch Knight gets to cast freaking spells.
Yes.
They only get to learn a couple. You don't get to really learn a ton of spells. They know 3 cantrips, I believe it is.
Yes, 3 cantrips.
Wow.
And then it's 3 spells.
3 spells, but 2 slots.
Yes.
Thanks for the help. I think this is going to be...
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Also gets this cool thing that Jackie is very excited about, which is she gets to bond a weapon to herself magically.
Yeah.
And that means that she can't be disarmed, so no matter what spell or anything is sent at her, you can't take it out of her hand. And she can literally leave it somewhere. And so let's say you had to sneak into a place, or you had to walk through you gotta leave all your weapons behind.
Yeah, my Warhammer, not that subtle.
Yeah.
Strapped across my back might be a little obvious. Yeah.
Leave her weapon behind, and then if she wanted to get into a fight, she could literally conjure the weapon out of thin air into her hand.
Mjolnir.
Akio Warhammer!
Exactly. Yes. Which is pretty cool.
Yes.
So nice choice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So things are definitely looking up. And so I know Jackie's been thinking about picking her spell. So if you have any questions about your stuff, you let me know, Jackie.
Yes, I have picked out what I want to pick.
Okay, you can tell me, or you don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
Well, I figure since it's, we're trying to learn how to play.
Yeah, yeah.
Then maybe it's better I just say what it is, because then we can talk about it.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, but you checked to see if they were the right ones, because she has to pick.
I did.
She gets 3 spells. But 2 of them have to be either abjuration or evocation.
Yep.
So they either have to be defensive or attacking spells. Because there are other spells that are like charm person and stuff like that, which are not those things.
Yeah. Right.
She can have 1 of those, but she can't have all of those. She has to have basically fighting or defense magic. You can share if you want, or you can surprise us in battle.
Yeah.
It might be
all
cool
right,
to surprise,
surprise
people.
You, yeah.
That would be cool to surprise.
They're kind of funny.
Yeah. Which will be
That's
great.
That's great.
Which will be great. Brian, at level 2, I believe you get a cunning action, which means that you also can take a second action on your turn. It can't be an attack, though. It has to be like a runaway or a hide or something like that. Which is
surprise, surprise.
But which is great, though, because he's a rogue, so he can literally attack and then run away and hide and be kind of free from attack at that point. So it's a cool thing. That's on, I think, all your stuff is on page 96, I believe, is where...
Yeah, I'm there. The only thing I'm seeing here about that is that doesn't look like any of those things kick in. Like, ability to score improvement starts at 4th level, uncanny dodge at 5th, evasion at 7th. You know what I mean? Like, so...
At starting level 2, your quick thinking and agility allow you to move and act quickly. You can take a bonus action on each of your turn in combat. This action can be used only to take the dash, disengage, or hide
action. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was
looking at the archetypes. My bad.
So, Rokish archetypes... At 3rd level, you choose an archetype that you can emulate in the exercise of your rogue abilities. Thief, assassin, or arcane trickster. At the end of the class description, your archetype choices grant you features at 3rd level, then again at 9th, then at 13th, then at 17th.
Gotcha. So with the back to the cunning action, I can do dash, disengage, or hide depending on the situation. It isn't a pick one.
It has to be one of those 3 actions when you use it, but you don't have to pick one. That it's only you can do it then. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All 3 together would be sweet.
Yeah. And that can be... So, Brian, you had a couple, like a month or so ago, or a couple months ago, we had talked about what you were going to pick for your archetype. Are you still going to do that, or you think you're going to go somewhere else?
I am.
Okay. So, what are you going to pick?
Arcane Trickster.
All right. So, we got some multi-faceted
adventurers
here.
The way this team is coming together.
Yeah. A little Loki going on there.
No, I can do spells too, bitches.
So I like the description.
There's that team spirit.
I can burn you in a second.
So arcane trickster. Some rogues enhance their fine-honed skills of stealth and agility with magic, learning tricks of enchantment and illusion. These rogues include pickpockets and burglars, but also pranksters and mischief makers, and a significant number of adventurers. At third level, Henley gets the ability to cast spells. And if you look right to the right on page 98, Brian, if you're there.
Yep.
There's a table that sells you. At third level, you have three cantrips you know. You're basically the same as Jackie's character. You have three cantrips and three spells known. You learn three cantrips. You have to learn Mage Hand. That's one of them you have to have. But you get two others. And you have to choose from the wizard spell list on these, Brian. The Arcane Trickster spellcasting table shows how many spell slots you have to cast. Your spells are first level and higher. To cast one of these spells, you must expend a slot of the spell's level. We know this already. You know three first level wizard spells of your choice, two of which you must choose from the enchantment and illusion categories. So in the descriptions of the spells, it'll tell you if they're enchantment or illusion spells. We're going to be shopping in a couple minutes, so you'll have time to sort of look through and pick as we go along here. And you're not going to need to use any spells until the second half of our sort of session here. Jackie and Brian, your spellcasting ability is an intelligence thing. So basically, when you attack with a spell that has... There'll be some spells that are just like, they just hit. And some of them will say like, the character has to make a dexterity saving throw or whatever. That means I have to roll
to see if you can save.
And that would be, which is always 8 plus your proficiency, which is 2, plus your intelligence modifier, whatever that is. But your spell attack modifier, which is basically like rolling when you roll against their armor class, it's your proficiency bonus plus your intelligence modifier. And I will say, Bob, I believe, and I could be wrong about this, I think on some of your attacks, we've been sort of shorting you on what you, not on your damage, but on your strike. You're like, I think your acid splash is like a ranged spell attack. Mm-hmm. Whenever you attack with a spell and it says like, oh, you make a ranged spell attack, which means you're rolling against their armor class, you add your proficiency bonus plus your intelligence modifier, which I think is at least a 5.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So yeah, so we've leveled up. Again, like I said, we won't get into like chance for even you guys to probably even have a chance to use them until the second half of the session. So as we're doing sort of the shopping and stuff like that, if you guys want to look at the player's handbook and do your thing, go right ahead. But yeah, so that's the leveling section of what we got going on here.
Sweet.
Yeah. Jackie, do you want to get the iPad for Bob so he can see the list?
Yes.
Are you talking about Sammy's treat yourself?
Yes.
How many things can we buy?
How many gold pieces do you have?
Exactly.
Do I get some extra gold pieces somewhere down the road?
You did at some point.
You do, yeah. You should.
You did lose 5 in a bet, though.
I don't know. I can't read my own writing. This pencil over pencil. Looks like 195 somehow.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Sounds
about
right. Yeah,
I've got 175.
Right. But Brian and Bob, did you two add in the 100 gold pieces you got at the end of the Clark... cave situation. I don't think you did.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, no, because
they... How did they have so much more than me?
Because they had a little adventure before you guys.
Oh. Awesome. Wow.
Actually, no, it does say 295.
Oh, okay, so 295.
Yeah. Way to share. Jeez.
Oh, so I have 275.
Yes. Again, it's up to you guys how much you spend. I mean, there will be other shopping excursions.
And there will be more gold.
And more gold, but you might end up wanting, you know, to save stuff up so you can buy stuff later.
Yeah, I'm not
Suvox male enhancement tonic.
You bet your fucking ass I'm buying that.
Well, I think the one character that needs it might be Hendley.
I won't say we're not.
You need some.
There's two items labeled with Suvox are from a listener.
That's awesome.
And one of them was suggested for Brian, and one of them was suggested for Jackie. So,
that's amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
All right, so. After I love to see like idea like the fiction of you guys standing in the middle of the street figuring out your level and Henley being like, oh my god, I just learned how to do magic.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey everybody, this is your Dungeon Master Bobby Shortle. And first of all, I want to say I'm sorry for the episode being so late. Both myself and sound effects master maestro Justin Riley had some pretty big life stuff happen, so we had to delay getting this show up. But it's here now, and I hope you're enjoying our interlude, our treat yourself interlude. Our characters just leveled up, and we're going to be going to a pretty cool little shopping excursion. And then on to sort of what's going to be the next step in our adventure. Thank you so much, everyone, for their support. It means the world. All of you have been amazing. Please, if you can, continue to review the show on iTunes. It helps so much with exposure. Keep tweeting about the show using hashtag D&D Adventure. And just tell people, if you think people will be interested in the show, the best way is to just evangelize it to people and let people know that it's out there. It's very hard to get a new podcast noticed. Even when you're coming off of a network of pretty successful shows, it's still very tough. So all of your help is so greatly appreciated. Big thanks as well, of course, to the aforementioned Justin Riley, who does an amazing job with sound effects, and he even did the music cues in this episode as well. So a big thanks to him. And then also big thanks to BattleBards, BattleBards.com, who provide sound effects, both sound effects and music for us. They're amazing. If you're doing a D&D podcast of your own, I can't recommend them enough. But if you're also just running your own game, they have both a great like interface to play the music through and just a great way to download the music that you want. You can really add to your game. It's awesome. So please check it out, battlebards.com. Follow us at D&D Adventure. sorry about that. And like I said, spread the word about the show. Patreon.com/talkingcomics. If you want to give anything to the show, that would be awesome. But I think that's enough of my little interstitial thing here. Let's get back to the main event. Do you guys want to walk over to Sammy's shop?
Yes, let's walk over to Sammy. Because he was nice, but, you know, not terribly welcoming.
Yeah. I got gold pieces in my pocket.
So you folks, you walk into Sammy's shop, the little bell rings over the top, and you're greeted by a giant smile on Sammy's face. Well, welcome back. I heard word from Glassstaff, and I want to first say thank you so much for everything you did. And I'm really sorry that you got hoodwinked by that there fake Sildar. I never met him, so I didn't know. He looked like the Sildar description that I'd heard, so...
That's okay, Sammy. To be honest, I haven't met very many people myself, and, you know, it happens.
People are problems.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah. I met a lot of people, and some of them are who they say they are. It's a rough world we're living in right now.
Well, I want to buy some things. You got all specials and clearance.
Well, you come to the right place. First of all, welcome to Sammy's Treat Yourself Emporium, all right? I'm sorry, I'm very sorry for before too, you know, but we have to, I'm sure you know the whole like ruse we got going on now, so y'all in on the joke, you'll never have this problem ever again. So I have a nice inventory for y'all, which I'll pass along, but before we get there, Glassstaff did, Gizmoto, I'm so used to calling him Glassstaff for the whole like, you know, ruse that we put on everybody.
Sorry, I just gotta stop you a minute.
Yeah, what's up?
I really need to get a picture of Bob using a magnifying glass. To read the iPad because he doesn't want to pinch it and make it bigger.
I think that's a good idea.
This is Bob Ryer.
That was way too posed, though.
It's just
Bob,
hysterical.
Do what you were normally doing.
Bob Ryer needs doing... technology is amazing.
Yeah. He's doing the same thing a second ago.
Exactly.
Well, Bobby, I think I sent you this text once of my. I told my dad to take a screen cap of what was going on in his phone. Or in his iPad or whatever, and he took a picture with a phone of the iPad and sent it to me.
I would have done that.
Yeah, see.
And his hand is in the photo. It was amazing.
Sorry, jump back a sentence.
Yeah. All right. So you come to the right place if you want to buy stuff. This is a great place to buy stuff. But before we do that, Glassstaff sent word. Gizmoto. I used to call him Glassstaff because we're in the whole
AKA
ruse we got going on.
Kind of
yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
You got some trickery. I like the trickery.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much.
I hate the trickery.
And you guys have a lot of danger coming down your way. So he asked me to give you some items on the house, on the house. and in fact, he did mention maybe saying was right later down the line as well. So I hope you come back because we really like returning customers.
Love a buyback.
Yeah. So for Julian, correct? That's your name?
That's, yeah.
That's your name.
I'm a shopping.
But first, these items, these aren't on your shopping list. These are special items just for you.
Oh.
No one else is going to have a chance to buy these items. For Julian, I have the Ring of Under Armour.
Is it really, really hideously overpriced normally?
Is it worn by douchebags?
Exclusively could by douchebags.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Douchebag tested. Douchebag approved.
Overweight guys who never worked out in their life, they wear it all the time when they're walking around drinking beer. So,
how much is this ring?
It's costing you nothing, sir.
Nothing.
This is a gift from Gizmoto.
It's a gift from Gizmoto.
Sold.
This ring, you can use the power in it once a day, and it will up your armor class by one and give you 3 extra hit points when you decide to use it.
That's very generous of Gizmoto. Julian. Yeah. You should probably say thank you, Julian. Yeah. Not burn it with fire. Say thank you.
I don't know. It's against my nature. Thank you.
It's quite nice. I might take it from you later.
I don't doubt that. don't doubt that.
That ring is for you. Again, you can wear it once. It's going to run out of power. And it has to wait for a day for it to roll back. But when you do have it, it's going to be very good for you. For you, Thrice.
Yes, honey.
I have Inferno Bomb. But what you can do with this bomb, it's great. I love this stuff, right? Part of it, it's a really, really rare thing. So you take this bomb and you can put it on any of your melee weapons. And it will allow you to use dragon fire to light the weapon ablaze.
Ooh. A blazing warhammer?
But here's the thing, all right? If you use that bomb, the time where you use the bomb and breathe the fire onto it, that's going to count as your action for that moment. So you won't be able to attack right there. Unless you have a second action.
Second choice, yes.
Blazing Warhammer.
Yes, my action surge.
It gives the weapon an extra 1d4 damage, fire damage.
Boy, I can't wait to go meet some goblins.
And for you, Henley, I give to you the Spectacles of Crime Scene Investigation. Now, these are shaded eye...
Oh, my God.
I can't wait.
It's a fucking David Crusoe joke.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Let me read the description, all right? So, these are shaded eyeglasses that once a day allow the wearer to detect physical evidence not able to be seen by the naked eye. They cannot detect magic, however. They can also be used for a snarky effect after making a great quip.
God, that's amazing. That's like one of the best items I've ever heard of.
So there
like
you go.
They're like x-ray specs.
Yeah, there you go. Amazing. So yeah, so Julian and Henley, your items are going to be used once a day. Thrace, basically once that bomb's on your warhammer, just have to breathe fire on there and it will light it up.
And what's his name?
The Inferno Bomb. Yeah. A little play on words there. So it's a bomb, but it's also like boom. So it's good. It's good. I like it. All right, so...
Thank you so much, Sammy.
You're very welcome. You're very, very welcome.
We earned it.
Julian, you really need to work on your manners, and I thought I was uncouth.
As you walked in, I'm sure you saw the list of items that we have. Now, I know you all probably have a good amount of gold pieces. I will be a good businessman here and tell you I would love for you to spend all your money with me, but I do get new items every few weeks or so. And I got a good shipment coming in soon, and there's some pretty pricey stuff there. So just be careful unless you think you're gonna come into some big time gold.
Sammy, I got to tell you something.
Yes.
I don't like reading much.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna ask you a couple questions.
All right.
I want to see if you got anything I'm looking for.
All right, go for it.
You got anything kind of manly?
Ah, yes, I do. I do. I do. I do. I think you're looking, definitely looking. For Suvox Male Enhancement Tonic.
Boy, is he.
It's only going to set you back about 15 gold pieces. And you
bargain.
You become a real man, and you get...
Hey, don't insult my friend Henley.
And you get plus 5 on any strength check. It's a one-time use item. I will tell you that right now. It's a one-time use item. So once you use it, it's gone.
Is it small and blue?
It's small and red.
Okay.
I'll take it.
All right, so just so you guys know, I'm speaking to the Dungeon Master now. Keep track of how much money you're spending.
Bobby, I just want to kind of run through everything, and then I'm going to do something after we kind of get a total.
So let me know what everything you want to get, and we can total it for you. All right, so Suvox Male Enhancement Tonic. I hope nobody else wants that, because I only got one, so...
Wow.
I'm pretty sure Henley is the only one that really needs it.
So, by the way, I have one of each of these items. If one of y'all decides to take one and the other one wants, make sure you speak up, because it's the only one that I got.
Let him have his male enhancement potion.
Well, no, off the record.
Yeah.
Just, I've got five things I want, so.
Okay. It can be on the record.
Fill your cart.
Say what they are. Say what they are in case. Right. Yeah.
I want the Badge of Beguilement.
Mm-hmm.
I want Suvac's Male Enhancement Tonic. I want the Blowgun. I want the Rogue's Sickle. And I want the chess set.
No, I want the chess set.
Okay. So I'll back off on that one.
Wow.
We have a fight. We have a fight about it, though.
Roll some dice. All right.
Henley, you'd have to actually be able to play chess to buy the chess set.
Save it.
I can keep that in. We can keep all this in. You want a Suvox Male Enhancement Tonic, correct?
Yes, I do. Also, I'm really good at making people believe my bullshit, but I want to be a little bit better at it.
Okay.
You got a thing like that?
I think you might really like the Badge of Beguilement.
I don't know what that means, but tell me what it does.
I'm going to tell you what it does. It's a piece of blank parchment that allows you to deceive an intelligent creature. The parchment appears blank to the naked eye, but has the ability to reflect what the subject most wants to see. An unwilling creature must make a wisdom saving throw, 8 plus the character's charisma modifier, but the parchment gives you +5 on that, so...
This is also a one-time thing?
No, this is not a one-time thing. You can use this to your heart's content.
I'll take that one, too.
All right. Badge of Beguilement.
Now, I got a little bit of an issue where I got some daggers. I like them. I've thrown them before. I miss a lot. I'm thinking about something that can get some sneaky stuff done from a distance. Got anything like that?
Sneaky stuff done from a distance? Well, you might be interested. You'd definitely be interested in our blowgun. I think you'd be very interested in that. Basically, it shoots darts. Now, the regular darts that come with it, they only do one damage. That's the downside, all right? But, A, it doesn't take up your action, so you can shoot them to your heart's content. But they can be filled with poison darts, sleeping darts, or confusion darts. And the darts, the victim has to succeed on a constitution or wisdom saving throw. And the darts, I don't have the darts here, though. I'm sorry. I'm not really good with the potions
the
stuff
accessories.
Like that. Yeah, the accessories. But the darts are available at Espinos Potions right here in town. Right here in town. So you make your way over there, and Espinos, he is a little bit of a surly guy, but I'm sure he'll be able to help you out. If in combat you use the poison sleep or the confusion dart, it will take up your action, just so you know.
All right. And I want to be able to hurt someone and have them not know I hurt them. Real sneaky.
You're one of those kind of guys. You're one of those kind of guys.
Do you have any roofies?
Well, I'm half a guy and half an elf, but all right.
All right, okay, I got you. I'm sorry. You probably want the Rogue Sickle. It's a great, great, great item. It does 1d4 slashing damage, and the strike is silent. And get the best part, the thing is enchanted, so the victim doesn't even realize they've been attacked.
I should have shopped for that myself. Henley, nice job.
That's a great purchase, my friend. It's a great, great purchase.
Hey, what's this, I'll say this thing here, what's it with all these squares and the pretty horses and...
All right, so, yeah, that's the dragon chess set.
Oh,
Henley.
No, Henley, you would actually have to be able to play chess.
But I like the little horsies. Can I have a horsey?
Perhaps in the next door there's some My Little Ponies.
Oh, yes. Henley the Brony.
All right, so are you giving up on the dragon chess set there, my friend?
Yes,
she's got a lot of power. I don't want to deal with that. But no. I've got, my math says that all those four things comes out to 20 gold pieces.
Oh, that is incorrect, sir. I got 90 gold pieces.
All right, well then I'll give you 30.
It's going to be 90, sir.
I'll give you 85.
You're going to give me 90, sir.
I'll give you 95.
Deal, sir. I'll take 95 gold pieces.
Wait.
So, no, transaction done. Like, we're done. All right.
I made a huge mistake.
Signature capture.
Right, take 95 gold pieces out of your monies there.
Good job.
Hey, I still got a $180. I'm doing pretty well.
All right, Thrace.
Yes.
What are you in for?
Well, for one thing, I would like the dragon chess set.
Absolutely. I think it goes very well with your whole thing you got going on there.
The dragon thing?
Yeah, the dragon thing.
Honestly, it's a little rude to comment on it.
I don't... No, but, come on. You clearly look like a half dragon person. So,
well, yes, and growing up, I was taught by the people at court to play chess. So I'd kind of like to revisit it again.
All right, I think that sounds great. So there's your dragon chess set. But I'm sure you want other stuff than just
yes,
that.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Every now and then I open my mouth, and rather than words, flames come out.
That's
Is there
a
anything
problem.
You could do to help me with that?
Absolutely. You've come to the right place. And once again, Suvok is here to help you out. The Suvok's Dragon Mist. It will quell your dragon breath and get you +1 charisma with this cool and fresh breath spray.
Oh, you know what? I'll take that, because when you go into somewhere to eat and you walk into an inn and you order a mead and fire comes out, they don't really treat you that well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this could help.
Just
yeah.
So you know,
help.
You might want to write this down. You can use it twice.
Twice?
You can use it twice. There's two sprays. But I will tell you both, the Dragon Mist and the Enhancement Tonic, I get in quite a bit. So next time you come by, I'm sure I'll have some more if you really
Are they
need
related?
It.
Thank you, Sammy.
The two of them?
Yeah.
Well, no, they're the same.
Suvok.
He's same gentleman makes them both. He's a great, he makes a lot of great quality products. If you see his name, you know it's quality.
Acme.
what else would you like there?
The last thing that I'm going to take, I think, is going to be, well, to be honest, I did want to get the purple sombrero of recognition.
That's a good look.
It's not a good look when you have, you know, the dragon thing going on. So
gotcha.
You mean a case of the uggos?
Henley.
Henley is so mean.
You know what?
I'm not great.
I think his leveling up has affected him.
Yeah, you know what? My Warhammer in his face will give him a case of the uglies, too.
Yeah.
Good one.
I am going to take the cannon fodder amulet.
Ah! I got to tell you, I did not expect someone like you to take that one, but that's a great item. Amulet that gives off a spectral warrior that has 6 hit points and does 1d10 attack damage. Can be used once per long rest.
That is a great purchase. I had my eye on that one.
Well,
that's a good one.
I just figured sometimes, you know, such as when we send Henley into battle, being able to send in a weird random ghost person might be more effective.
You might be just totally correct.
Sending in an empty can of corn might be more effective than sending Henley
but
in.
But Ghost Warrior, we'll go with Ghost Warrior.
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
Uh-oh, we've lost
Ryan
we've
is
lost
so close.
Henley.
What's going on? So if I'm correct, you got Thrace, you got cannon fodder, and you got the dragon chest set. Is that all you got?
The dragon mist.
Oh, the dragon mist.
Yeah.
So 65, I think that's 70 gold pieces.
I'll give you 70 gold pieces.
That's perfect. We have a deal.
See work? How easy that is, Henley?
Hey, Sammy, you got a return policy?
No.
Does your mother have a return policy?
Oh! A mysterious voice from the ether.
Oh, that was just my shop clerk, Courtney. She's just laughing there in the back. She gets a kick out of the customers when they come in here. Your way was a lot easier, but I kind of like the way Henley negotiates.
Yep. The right. Turnover rate is incredible.
Julian! What do you need to buy?
I'm very into acquiring information.
Yeah, that's you seem like that type of guy.
But I'm also really into hats.
Haha.
What do you have?
You seem like a hat guy to me.
Yeah.
Okay, hats. You might be looking for the Sombrero of Recognition?
Tell me about that.
I would say that it's a beautiful, deep purple sombrero.
Oh, I like that.
That gives the wearer the ability to discern one lie or dispel one magical illusion. Can be used once per long rest. But you can, I mean, doesn't mean you can't wear it the whole time, because let's face it, it's going to be cool.
Right.
And with that coat of yours, with that multicolored coat, plus that hat.
Yeah. And since I'm palling around with a liar and rogue, it could be helpful.
Yeah, so that's a good item.
How much is that?
50 gold pieces.
That's not bad.
That's not bad, right?
That's not bad. Is it design or it is fashion week?
Yeah. It's designed by Teddy over at the
Teddy.
At the shop.
Work.
Yeah,
like
he's good. He's good.
Sold.
All right.
Sold.
One sombrero recognition for Mr. Julian. What else would you like, Mr. Julian?
Well, again, I'm all about knowing what's coming. Mm. We're wandering through all these strange places, and it's what comes next.
Yes, of course.
So I don't want to walk into a room where I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you got something down that road?
I absolutely do. The Blade of Spion is what you're looking for,
I like
my
the
friend.
Name of that right away. First of all, it's a blade.
Only
so.
20 gold pieces, which is a great deal.
It's a bargain.
Here's the one thing, though. You can only use it one time. It breaks after the first use. But you can unlock any door. And this is the best part, because there's a lot of lock-picking tools and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
It will show you a preview of what's behind the door.
Gotta have it.
Yeah,
gotta
absolutely.
Have it.
A guy like you definitely need
any
that.
Door.
Yeah. You guys seem like the kind of people who are going to need a lot of information going forward, so it's probably a good thing.
Well, we have to triangulate what we're doing here. We've got all sorts of stuff. We've got a team-building exercise.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's. I think that's it for me. What does my total look like?
I think just 70 gold pieces for you.
I can give you 70 for that easily.
All right, awesome. 70 gold pieces. This is a good day for all of us here. There's some items left over. I'll put those into the back. I'm gonna keep those for you safe and sound. So if you come back, you'll get some more. They'll be added, and there'll be new stuff too when you come back. And I got some good orders coming, especially now that I know you three are coming back. I will have some good stuff in store for you folks when you
are
come back.
Are they tailored for our purchasing needs?
They might. Some of them will be. Some might be a little more general.
But Suvok, we've got to watch for Suvok and Teddy. Yes. I'm thinking.
Teddy's very good. Teddy, more a local guy. Teddy just does stuff here in Phandalin. We're not a big export sort of town, as you can tell probably from the whole gang thing. You know, you got to keep the whole ruse going on. Yeah. But Suvok, he is a sort of a national brand, so I'm surprised you haven't heard of him.
Yeah.
No, okay. Okay.
Not yet.
But he's great. He's great. He's great. So, yeah, absolutely.
And, sounds like he's got pointy ears.
Why do you say that?
No, because I'm getting like a Savick Tuvok sort of vibe.
Okay.
So I can't bring
Star Trek into this because it's a different universe.
No, sure you can.
All right, guys. So thank you so much.
We get miles on our cards for this.
Don't worry, I got your free item every once in a while, sort of your benefit program.
Okay.
That Gizmo will let me know when you guys are eligible for such a thing. Y'all should come back. For sure. I know that Glassstaff said that Gizmoto said he wanted you to come back to the hideout after you were done here. So
yes,
you should probably head back. There's probably some. We had a lot of fun here, but there's probably some pretty serious, important stuff that he needs to talk to you about.
Do you have a rewards card?
Julian already asked that question.
You could pay attention, Handlin.
I was too busy looking at this male enhancement.
He's already used it up, I think.
I wish it was a brain enhancement.
Maybe that'll be next time. Suvok has one of those, too.
Oh, Henley, we'll put one of those aside for you.
All right. So
he'll forget.
Y'all come back now and say hello to Gizmoto for me.
Thanks,
Thank
shopkeep.
You. Thanks, Sammy.
Love shopping here.
Do you guys want to just walk right to Glassstaff? Do you want to talk outside? What do you want to do?
Like, a lot of stuff has just happened. Like, right. we leveled up. We have a lot more abilities and things like that, and we just bought a bunch of shit.
I want to go over to this Glizglass guy.
Guys, I think we should go find out what Gizmoto has to tell us.
Yes.
I don't want to be wandering around here and not realizing how much danger we could be in.
Yeah, it was a whole town of gangs. He says it's not exactly bad, but...
Yeah, should we go back?
It could turn, I think so. It could turn any second.
Why don't you lead the way, Clunky Boots?
Henley, I'm trying really hard.
I don't think that's true.
I think it's very difficult. Yeah, very difficult to defend you against people.
I'm just saying you're slow, that's all. You clunk, clunk, clunk.
Do you want to see how fast my fist moves?
We've done that before.
Especially when it's attached to my warhammer.
Your blazing warhammer.
Let's do pants him again. Actually, nobody needs to see that again.
No, not especially with Suvok's male enhancement. Yeah, I'd rather
avoid
that.
Julian sat next to me with a magnifying glass. That might help.
And with that, you guys re-enter the Red Brand's base of operations. It's just Gizmoto now sitting, and he's not even sitting at the store anymore. He's sitting at one of the tables, and he's being whispered to by the two spies who you saw go off to Spire. He looks up when he hears you come in, and he beckons you over to the table, and the two spies sort of walk off, and they nod at you as they walk by you and back out the door.
Hello, Gizmoto.
Hello.
Do you have something to tell us?
I do. First of all, how was Sammy's?
Sammy is very nice man.
Yeah. Let's talk about what's happening right now. I'm sure you probably want to know about the Black Spider, since he's been sort of a specter over your head for the last little bit. But before we get to that stuff, do you have any questions for me about anything else that's happened to you or happened here or whatever?
A kind of an out-of-character question.
All right, yeah.
Can we check, like, how would we go about checking whether you're actually telling the truth or making sure you tell the truth?
You would roll a perception check on me, for sure. That's what you would roll.
All right. One of you two should do that, because I don't think I have. Yeah.
No, I've got... I've got negative one on perception.
All right, well, let's all roll.
Yeah, I'll roll a d20.
Let's all roll before he starts talking, and just... I just want to see if he's... If
good on perception, right, Bob?
Is he being honest? Is his body language honest?
Two, okay. So roll a d20 and add two to it, and then which Jackie... it's perception.
Perception.
Which I think you're minus one on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a d20, right?
Yeah.
10 plus 2, 12.
12. Back.
One.
One. Minus one, zero. Critical miss. You couldn't tell if he was lying, if he was, like, scratching his face and, like...
Or if he was holding a sign saying, I am currently lying to you. 10 minus 1 is 9.
You're not going to be able to tell definitely if he's lying or not. Obviously, Jackie, you can't tell anything. He doesn't seem like he's fidgeting or anything like that. And Julian, you can read a little bit more into it. He doesn't seem like he's lying, from all you can tell. He doesn't seem like he's lying to you. And those scores will go throughout the time we're talking here, so you don't have to keep re-rolling. Cool. Unless you want to do a new sort of check or new sort of action, but as far as perception goes, this is what you've got.
Okay. Gizmuto, how long have you been here?
How long I lived in Phandalin?
Mm-hmm.
I've lived here all my life.
And how long is that?
How old do you think I am?
21, obviously.
It's a 50. Very flattering. Somewhere in between, though. See, I'm 42 years old.
Okay.
You look great.
Thank you so much.
I said you look 50, but, I mean, I'll get it.
Let's hear more about this black spider.
You want to hear more about the black spider?
I definitely do.
I know this about the black spider. He's a drow, which is, if you don't know, is a dark elf. Very twisted version of his kind. Very magically attuned. Very intelligent. Has lived a very, very long time. And he is an agent of an organization which I have come to know as Cult of the Three. I don't know who the other members are at the moment. I'm still trying to discern that information.
When did you first become aware of this cult?
Well, that was just confirmed to me tonight. What's...
Your agents?
My agents came back. There's been evidence here and there. We've been pressing a few what we think are low-level members of this group, which I'm sure you've probably run into a few of them yourselves along the way. I wasn't sure, but from what I can tell, the Cult of the Three is the same organization who has tried to oppress this town that we've beaten back. And from what I know and what I've discerned through my spies and my sources and my own kind of magical attunements, they're searching for something. Three somethings, to be exact. Three items. Three things.
Do you know what those things are?
I don't know what they are. I can tell you that...
That's a good question for me. I am stunned. This male enhancement has... Definitely work.
I'll tell you.
I'm saving it for a rainy day.
I can tell you that what I've heard, and I can't confirm this, so please, I'm pretty sure. There are items from another world. They have been here for, I don't know how long, maybe millennia here?
That's like 10 years, right?
Yes, exactly, 10 years. They crossed over at some point, and they were lost to time, but these people have been searching for them, and I believe... Judging by the movement that has happened, at the very least, one of them has been found.
Okay.
The other two most likely in danger of being found if one of them has been found. And I believe the black spider has found one of those items.
Okay. Now, do you remember talking to Stewie, our goblin friend, Hendley?
I thought you were talking to Gizstaff over there.
But you're listening, right, Hendley?
I remember Stu.
Do you remember that big bugbear, Clarg?
Clarg.
Were they not talking about a book? Do you remember?
They were.
They were talking about a book. Is it possible that this book is one of those items?
Could be.
I will tell you that if it's the book that I think they're talking about, it is not one of those items, but it is a guide to possibly understanding those items, if not finding those items. It is a book of this world... Written about another world.
Oh, okay.
Now, you want us to get these things for you?
You don't have to get them for me. We have mutual interests here. Here's the thing. The black spider is in the cave already. He's there.
Which cave is that?
It's Cornhole Cave is the name of it.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Is that with a K or a C?
It's with a C. Play a lot of lawn games there. Here's the thing, though. Judging by all the movement... The most disturbing and sad news I've heard was from you three. which was that Gundren Rockseeker has been taken by the Black Spider.
Yes.
From yeah, all not I, great.
From, this is how we started this whole mess.
And you got caught up in something much bigger than I think any of you expected.
Oh, and who brought us this job? Hendley, for 10 gold pieces.
10 gold pieces of 10 gold pieces.
There's some providence, though, to this. It got you out of Neverwinter. And as sure as you know, there was some sort of disaster.
Do you know what happened in Neverwinter?
Someone, I would assume, is looking for that book.
Okay.
Though, the events of this past day have thrown into question for me just that assertion that I've made, because I would have to assume that the person you were traveling with is part of this organization, and the amount of power they showed to overpower all of you, overpower our entire organization, means they have to be pretty, pretty powerful.
Do you have any idea who that was?
I have no idea who that person was. I will find out.
You got any enemies?
I've got plenty of enemies, my friend, but I don't think that man has anything to do with me.
Could he have been another member of the Cult of Three?
I believe he is. I might even believe that he might be the leader of the Cult of the Three. Mm. Though, again, I'm only taking that for the amount of power he has.
Yes.
Now, from what I know about the Cornhole Cave and what is hidden there, it's about 15 miles east of Phandalin. It's in the deep vales of the Sword Mountains. There used to be a rich mine there, but it was lost something like 500 years ago during an orc invasion, and it totally devastated this part of the north. In the century since, countless prospectors and adventurers have searched for the lost mine, but none succeeded. Until the Rockseeker brothers. They found the entrance about a month ago. Unfortunately, I don't think the Rockseekers realized they were being trailed. They were being trailed by spies of the Black Spider.
And Gundren knows where this cave is.
And I think they inadvertently led him to that cave. Now here's the problem. By the way, the Black Spider, sometimes I believe using those sort of names gives him a little more power than he deserves. His name is Carl. That's his name. That's his real name.
Carl Black Carl. Spider.
Yeah, Carl the Black Spider. And those spies offed the two of the Rockseeker brothers. Gundren, that's all that's left. When they killed the two Rockseeker brothers, obviously the Black Spider wasn't with them. And if he had been there, he would have told them that was a bad move, because I think the only way to access and get the item is to have a Rockseeker with you. Their legacy is in that cave, and whatever's hidden there, they hid away with some sort of dwarven magic. That has something to do with their DNA, their self.
I think we can at least assume that Gundren must be alive. If not particularly well, they're not going to kill Gundren if he's the key to the secret.
Not until they've gotten what they need.
And this is what I'm afraid of. He has a head start. I don't know how long it's going to take whoever took Gundren to head to the Black Spider. Now, the cave is full of traps and monsters and deadly, deadly things. And so it's not like Carl's going to be able just to walk in there.
Laugh at such things.
It's going to take him a while to get in there. But here's the thing. If he's already in there, he's a smart elf. He's going to have redundancies in place. He's going to have most likely extra traps in place. He's going to have some sort of, I would assume, thing that's going to basically mean if you get caught, it's going to mean the end of either you guys, Gundren, or your chances of recovering that item.
He may have all that, but we have a Hendley.
You do have a Hendley. That's true.
I have a flaming warhammer that can take out Hendley should he make a noise.
Here's what I'm thinking. If Carl has arrived, if he has the head start, he seems to, you're not going to be able to just fight your way in. You're going to have to break in to the Cornhole Cave.